I am an avid journaler, and I love to write a little bit down every day about how things are going, and it ends up being such a helpful resource.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. Today, I am joined by Becca Gardner. Now, she's the founder and CEO of Alt Distilling Incorporated. Now, she also had a brand a little while back, and she'll tell us about it, and it's NKDLDY, which is Naked Lady, which piqued my interest. And then I found out it was all to do with no alcohol and low alcohol drinking. Now, that's something I need to get some more in my life. So that obviously piqued my interest. But Becca, over to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your past, your history, what the low alcohol, no alcohol stuff has to do with you. Then we'll see if we can slide in some goals and goal setting stuff along the way.
Perfect. Yeah. So my name is Becca Gardner, and I am originally from Kentucky, where I grew up on a farm. And after high school, I went to Ohio, to Denison University, where I studied studio art, anthropology, and women's studies. And after that, I spent almost 12 years in New York City, where I was working in strategy consulting at Deloitte. And while I was in New York, I guess it was a little over 4 years ago, I decided to give up drinking alcohol. And I think right before we started recording, I was telling you that it was 3 summers ago that I was in London, and I was actually there exploring a new job opportunity. And at that point in my non-drinking journey, I was really happy with my decision to stop drinking, but also feeling quite alienated from that choice. And when I was in the UK, I was just astonished by how many places accommodated my decision as a non-drinker. So it felt like every nice bar, every nice restaurant I went to had a non-alc option. And I ended up turning down the job opportunity because I was so taken by the inclusion that I felt in all of these spaces that had felt really kind of no longer an option for me. And so I decided to do something about it and, you know, tried to develop my own non-alcoholic spirits company to make these types of options more accessible in the US as well. And I started working on this idea when I got back from London. I was still in New York, but then I quickly realized that if I wanted to build an authentic non-alcoholic spirits company, it would make a lot of sense for me to do that along the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky, where I grew up. So I ended up making the decision the holiday season before the pandemic to actually move back to Kentucky to start working on this full time.
Now, Kentucky, isn't that where Jack Daniels was made?
So Jack Daniels is Tennessee, but it is Brown Foreman, which is in Kentucky. So we're definitely here in the heart of spirits country. And it's so funny. I was just speaking with a woman before this conversation who had moved here in the last few years. And, you know, her experience had mostly also been during the pandemic. And, you know, she's a non-drinker, and she was saying, you know, this is a pretty boozy place. You know, there's a lot of drinking in Kentucky, which I think makes it a great place to start an alternative company like this. But it also makes it a tough market because you get a lot of curious looks when you tell people that you're actually removing the alcohol from spirits.
Yeah, I can see that. Having just returned from a week of excessive alcohol consumption, it can only be said to be that. And I get what you're saying. It's like, you know, if you go, well, I'm not drinking today. And I did actually have one day where I had just one beer, which for me is unheard of. And that was just because I caught up with an Australian guy that I haven't seen for quite some time. And he said, look, Doug, I'm not going to buy you anything other than a beer. And it's like, it wasn't going to be an alcohol-free one either. So, you know, so I can see that there's a really seriously tough act that you've got to create for yourself to be able to get an acceptance out there in the world that we can have some fun and it doesn't have to involve alcohol.
Absolutely. And I think it's so interesting because when I first started thinking about this, there really weren't that many other options. I think Seedlip was the only brand, which is originally from the UK, that had kind of come out in the category and people were starting to think maybe this could be a thing. But there weren't many other options, especially here in the US. But today, it seems like there are a plethora of, you know, new brands that have suddenly emerged. But that being said, it is still a very nascent category. And I think I am being reminded of that now that we have done our first bottling run. We're actually out in the market. I think I was kind of expecting there to have been more education than there has been because it's what I live and breathe every day. But we are still at every event learning more about our potential customers. And a lot of these folks, we didn't expect. And for a lot of folks, actually coming into contact with us is the first time that they've ever even considered this type of product, which is not something we expected. And so it's an interesting category because we're still trying to figure out the most effective way to brand, because what you're mentioning is it's a tricky decision not to drink. And I think because it's something where we realize that most people don't want to bring attention to themselves or they don't know it's something that exists, you know, getting in front of those customers and showing them the value in this for them, you know, takes a lot of thoughtfulness, and there is some nuance to it. So,
I mean, certainly is, you know, going for non-alcoholic drinks is a bit niche, but there's a massive market.
Yeah.
Far too many people drink far too much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the most exciting things for me is when I see that like aha in someone's eyes, when they realize something like this is an option, when they try our products and cocktails and they realize that it actually tastes the same. It's a little bit of a, there's no way, you know, I think people get really excited when they experience that for the first time.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is a goal setting podcast, right? It's goal.
Yeah.
Goals do come true. So tell us about some of your goals then. Some big, hairy, audacious goals. I like to ask if somebody's got a big, hairy, audacious goal. So, I mean, turning the US into a non-drinking nation would be big, hairy and audacious, but that's never going to happen because it's got to be a measurable and an achievable and realistic goal. But what have you got as a big, hairy, audacious goal that you're working on at the moment?
It's an interesting time to talk because I think I'm going through a bit of a goal resetting period, which is actually something that I do occasionally. And I think it's okay to do because
definitely
I will admit, like when I first set out doing this, guns blazing, I was like, I'm going to radically change the culture surrounding drinking. I wanted to make the culture surrounding drinking more inclusive. And I think a lot of my motivation comes from a lot of the dark sides of alcohol, which aren't things that we often talk about in our brand. But, you know, over the past 6 months, I've really been realizing what a tremendous undertaking that is. And so I think for me, my hairy audacious goal is that at least in the US, you know, in the next few years, people do know what it means to order a cocktail naked, which means non-alcoholic, because I think for me, that goal is just to make this decision one that's easy and inconsequential.
I've demonstrated the Australian that wanted to buy me a beer and it had to be an alcohol one. There's a massive amount of pressure on people to drink. And, you know, if between us, we can add that little message. And I mean, it seems somewhat ironic for me, who's probably put on 8 pounds in the last 3 weeks through excessive alcohol, to be wanting to, you know, get the message over that you know, there shouldn't be a stigma attached to somebody wanting to have a non-alcoholic drink.
There shouldn't. And it is really interesting because you're right. There is this whole psychology that is surrounding not only your decision, you know, an individual's decision not to drink, but the psychology in terms of like how that affects the other people around them, which makes it a really tricky decision. And I think until more recently, you know, if you weren't drinking alcohol, you would, I guess, be ordering water or a soda and probably making the other people around you uncomfortable. And it's just like a really unfortunate set of, you know, circumstances when it might be the right decision for you. And I think, you know, because of that, what we realized is that to make it even seem like an interesting option for someone, it has to be innocuous. And so that means that they aren't compromising much on the flavor, that it, you know, the format of the cocktail looks the same, that it's easy for the bartender to use, like there can't be too much friction in the process. But, you know, on the flip side, it's like we need to be innocuous, but people need to also know it's there. So sometimes it's a little bit of a tricky balance.
Yes. Yeah, no, I can see that. And drinking soda all evening, aside from, well, it's just boring.
Exactly.
You know, it's, and then it's like, oh, Doug, you're having another, I'm using soda because it's generic, because obviously any advertising issues or, you know, any of that sort of stuff. But, you know, you will have your go-to drink, and after you've had three of them and they're all fizzy and they're, you know, you end up bloated and uncomfortable and appear to be dull because you're drinking alcohol, you know, I mean, it's really, really tough. So I think this movement that you're developing is fabulous. You know, if we can remove the stigma associated with having mocktails. But, and I like that, can I have my daiquiri naked?
And you know, I think it's important to also say that I don't envision a culture or a society where there is no alcohol consumption. And I think the further I move along, the clearer it is that our main customer is actually someone who does drink alcohol, that wants to have, you know, a little bit more optionality in terms of their consumption. Because I think, you know, it's incredible to me when I really think about it, and maybe you've had this experience, but it's like the amount of time that maybe you spend out is oftentimes impacted by how much you want to drink. So, you know, if you are planning to only drink a little, it might mean a night that you call early. Or if you aren't planning to drink at all, that might mean that you don't actually go and participate in whatever activity it is. And it's amazing kind of the control that this one ingredient, you know, of a beverage has on our decisions around socializing. And I think for me, it's like, you know, alcohol can be fun and great if you have, you know, a healthy relationship of it, but it excludes so many people from experiences. And I don't think that should be the case. So
No, I'm totally with you. I like that.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I hope you don't mind me just spending a few moments to tell you about my new book. I'm very excited. It's called Think Simple, Win Big: How to Build the Business of Your Dreams with a Few Simple Goals. And it's a rewrite of my original book, Goals Do Come True. And it's especially available for entrepreneurs, either new entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs who want to get the fundamentals right with their business. So if you are interested in getting your hands on a copy, go to my website, www.dougbennett.co.uk. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast.
I can see it developing. I think it's an important thing. I think people are becoming more knowledgeable about their health as well, you know, because having no alcohol in your drink means it's going to be less harm on your liver. So there's an obvious health benefit there. And I think people are becoming more conscious and more aware of the health implications of these things. So, you know, all kudos to you in that respect. I mean, I'm going to go back to, you know, your New York days.
Yeah.
Deloitte. I imagine that there would have been a fair amount of networking around alcohol.
Yeah.
And was that part of the thing for you? You know, did you become aware and that's where you made this decision to move
You know, it's so interesting. I think I didn't realize how much, or didn't fully appreciate how big of a role alcohol played in corporate culture. And I'll just say that generically, because it wasn't just my company, until I stopped drinking. And then it's like, you suddenly notice every single event that it is there, how much people are consuming. It's such an interesting experience, especially early on when you decide to step to the other side. And I think, you know, one of the things that really started me thinking was around just how obvious my decision was to everyone else. And there were so many dinners that I would go to or events that I would go to. And it seemed like the main question people had for me wasn't what was going on in my life, but why I wasn't drinking. And it was just such an unusual decision, it seemed to make. And I think I just, you know, I was frustrated with that experience, but you know, it really wasn't until I was in London and I saw that there was an alternative that spark was lit. Mm-hmm. I think I was just kind of resigned to like living in a bit of frustration. And you know, I'm so glad to realize that that doesn't need to be the case, but you know, there certainly is a lot of drinking in corporate culture. It was so funny. I was talking to a bartender that works for us, and I asked him the other day what the craziest event he ever bartended for was. And it was some office holiday party. And, you know, I thought it was going to be some sort of rave or something. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, at those parties, people just really love to drink. And I think it is, I mean, it's so true. And so I think for that reason, those environments are also very interesting for us down the line. It's like, how can we work with different, you know, different companies to offer different options to the folks that work there, who might not necessarily want to drink as well.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good. It's a good movement. I can fully get behind it, even though, am I on the cusp of giving up alcohol completely? I think you give up for a day, don't you? Isn't that what you do? You just give up for the day. And then when the end of that day comes, you give up for another day. How did you do it?
Just one day at a time, you know? And I think that there are, it's so funny because sometimes people ask me, do I miss it? And I think it's an interesting question because I don't know if I miss alcohol, but I do miss being able to just sometimes blend in I think there are a lot of environments where I end up in where I realized that alcohol was what made it a more tolerable situation, because it wasn't actually, you know what I mean? It wasn't actually like the most fun environment, or it wasn't necessarily like the most enjoyable company. And I'm like, wow, in those experiences, it really is alcohol that's like holding the thing together. And, you know, for me, it has meant that I've just had to raise the bar in a lot of areas of my life, because I felt that I was not necessarily getting what I needed when alcohol was removed from a lot of the environments I would find myself in. But again, it's, you know, for me, it's like deciding not to drink every day. But my fiance has just started drinking less. He has made it a habit that, you know, after two cocktails, sometimes three, like he'll switch to Naked Lady. And, you know, he has found that to be really effective. And I think for us, it's really about communicating that as a use case for our product, because it is a huge personal decision and life change to decide to give up drinking completely. And it's not for everybody, even though it is for a lot of people. And I think that when people initially saw these different non-alcoholic options, I think the thought that people get is that they need to give up completely if they're going to be, you know, enjoying them. But that's just not the case. You know, they're products for everyone. And I think we're, like I said, trying to figure out exactly how to communicate that message. I'll actually give you an example. We did an event several weeks ago, and we actually offered two non-alcoholic cocktails at this event and one low alcohol cocktail made with our product. And it was so interesting because we had so many people come to our booth, more than normal, and they initially ordered the low alcohol cocktail because that, I think, seemed a little less threatening. And then they enjoyed that so much, they ended up trying the non-alcoholic cocktails, and then they became kind of fans of the product. But, you know, they needed that entry point that wasn't so you know, that wasn't going to brand them as somebody who was like a non-alcoholic drinker initially.
Yeah. Can you believe that being branded, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? Being branded as a, you know, somebody that is a bit weird because you don't drink alcohol.
Yeah. And I think that it's being branded as someone who's weird, who doesn't drink, but then it's also be this shadow cast on why is that person not drinking? And, you know, I think people's minds fill with all different types of possibilities. The reality is that everyone's decision not to drink is different. I know people that don't drink because of a medical condition or, you know, just because they're allergic or because they don't like the taste. And, you know, for those folks, it's like, they definitely don't want to be branded as someone who is quote unquote an alcoholic, which also, you know, is a completely fine thing to be. But it's those types of folks that you often see just like not participating in things at all.
And I think, again, we would touch on that. It's like, if you're not having alcohol, it just struck me that maybe people would think, well, did you have an alcohol problem? And that's why you're not drinking, you know, because that could be one thing that you immediately jump to. Or, are you pregnant? Which obviously doesn't happen for guys too much, if at all.
Totally. Yeah. And for some people, you know, especially early, that's a private decision. And I think I've spoken to couples who are in the process of trying, and that's also something that, you know, they would like some privacy around. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because the whole challenge is around, I believe, people not being able to feel that they can show up authentically and that there is kind of a choice that's the right choice, you know, a way to participate that's the right way. And it has gotten to the point, I think, socially where it feels like it's counterproductive and causing more harm than good. And, you know, it's so interesting because I have so many conversations with folks where they're like, oh, how do you do it? I wish I could drink a little bit less. And it's never folks saying that they want to give up completely. That happens occasionally, but it's usually folks just saying they wish they could drink a little less. And it's incredible how hard our culture makes that choice.
Well, and especially after the last couple of years we've had where we've, you know, been thrust into 24/7 relationships.
Yeah.
With relationships that have probably been managing on 3 to 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
Primarily. And now they're 24/7. I can see why there would be a strong uptake in alcohol during that.
100%. I think the pandemic certainly contributed to excessive drinking. But on the other side of that was, I think, a little bit more of an interest in this category as a whole, because you had a lot of people that realize that maybe without the, you know, the boundaries of like a work day, that they were going to, you know, end up drinking excessively. And so that's when you kind of saw the emergence of this like sober, curious, and mocktail movement, where a lot of people were looking for new options on Instagram, and you saw a lot of new D2C brands emerge in the category. People got excited about having these kind of home mocktail carts. And I think it's really exciting to have that, you know, growing interest in the category. But for us, that's just the starting point because there's so much white space. And I think it really, to have someone like yourself who is somebody who does enjoy alcoholic beverages, but that for someone like you, maybe it would be an option in your mind that you, after maybe having 2 Manhattans, could have it at Manhattan Naked. I think that would be success for us. You know, it wouldn't necessarily be just finding that person who's ready to, you know, start blogging about non-alcoholic options and photographing them, but just kind of the, you know, the everyday consumer.
Yes, no, that's a good point, because it is sort of rammed down your throat a little bit. These born again non-alcoholics.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that like what we've realized is that, you know, while there are health and wellness benefits, and if you are drinking less, it usually is because you're wanting to make some sort of positive change in your life. People aren't wanting to sign up necessarily to, you know, a whole new set of beliefs and a whole new lifestyle. Like, they don't want a change that's that aggressive, or, you know, to be buying a brand that brands them. And so for us, it's like, how do we make a product that really blends into the fabric of drinking culture as it is, as opposed to, you know, shoving too much, you know, self-improvement guidance down people's throats, just because I think, you know, for us, that means that we just might not be as interesting to as many people.
That's a good call. So it's as simple as whatever drink you normally drink. So you want a cosmopolitan, naked, and an old-fashioned naked. Just add naked onto the end of every drink that you order, folks, and you know you'll start. And maybe just make it a third or fourth drink.
Yeah,
Start with, get that feel good factor of your defenses lowering just a smidgen, so that makes you a little bit more interesting, if that's what's needed. That's what my wife says anyway. That's what my wife says. And then just go naked. I can't see any problem with that at all.
Exactly.
Got to throw in the odd innuendo there. I can't.
Yes.
No, you know how it is. It just makes life that little bit more fun.
You've got to make it fun, you know?
It's got to be fun. So what Becca nugget could we look for? A golden nugget. If you can make it goals and goal setting, even better, but something that everybody in the world needs to know about goals and goal setting from Becca, go for it.
I'm going to say, related to what I shared a little bit earlier about I'm going through this kind of assessment phase or reassessment phase, I can't suggest that enough. I am an avid journaler and I love to write a little bit down every day about how things are going. And it ends up being such a helpful resource for me when I, you know, like I said, every 6 months or so kind of come back and I'm like, okay, what am I trying to accomplish? Why am I trying to accomplish this? And then what's gone well, what's not gone well? And I almost do this current state, you know, assessment, and maybe I'll come up with like 5 suggestions for myself in terms of like how I can potentially tweak my approach. But I think it's important to carve out that time, and maybe it's every 3 months, maybe it's once a year, maybe it's 6 months, but you know, I think that we can get so caught up in the day-to-day execution that we forget to take a step back when the circumstances surrounding us might have changed. And so we might either be missing opportunities or doing the same thing over and over that's not, you know, giving us the results we're looking for. And so I can't say enough about taking time for reflection and using journaling as a tool to facilitate that process.
Perfect. I like that. There's no point climbing the ladder of success if it's resting on the wrong wall.
Totally.
Sometimes you got to stop and think, oh no, I need to go down, move it to another place and start the climb again.
100%. And I think it's okay for your definition of success to also change, because I think that sometimes if it's too abstract, like we were saying, you know, I think I started this wanting to like radically change the culture surrounding drinking. And there could be days where I would wake up and it would be very hard to evaluate if I was tracking accordingly, you know? And so I think it's great to kind of kick off a passion, you know, with a huge burst of just like almost like ignorance in terms of how, you know, blindly and aggressively you're going after it. But I think it is important to, you know, take pause and be like, you know, where am I headed? And is this actually bringing me kind of the joy and the fulfillment that I imagined it would based on the effort it's taking? And it's always okay to make modifications.
That's it. Perfect. And that's why we ask for the golden nugget, because it is always such a good one. So, Becca, thank you very much. Now, is there anything you can offer people? Have you got, you know, a get alcohol free, quick, rich brochure or something like that on your website? Or are you just big, more global?
Yeah, I would highly suggest that folks follow us on Instagram, and that is just NKDLDY. And our website is Drink Naked Lady, NKDLDY. And yeah, we're really just getting moving. And so we're constantly sharing new insights, new ideas. And I encourage folks to check us out, because we are, you know, trying to share a lot of education, but we're also learning from you. And so I think the more engagement we have from folks, the better this will be for everyone.
Oh, that's perfect. We'll make sure the link to Insta and the link to your website is contained in the show notes. Leaves me to just say, Becca, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
It's been an insight and very, very useful. And yeah, 2 Manhattans in, I'm going naked.
Love it. Love it.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to review and subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify. I'd love to hear about your goals. You can share them with me at dougbennett.co.uk.